Welcome to Story Time with Bron. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come, sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the Story Weaver's Realm. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell, aka the Story Weaver, and I am back with 13 Days of Christmas. Today I shall be reading a little more of Adam Wallace's Ninja Inspiration. And at the end of our 13 Days of Christmas, I'll be announcing the competition to give away copies of Ninja Inspiration. Chapter 2. The first thing to realise here is that it wasn't a real ninja. I knew this as soon as it waved vigorously and then ran towards us before tripping and rolling down a hill. It leapt up, brushed itself off, did a fighting pose, then ran towards us again. I could hear laughter from inside the ninja mask too, and I was pretty sure that ninjas didn't laugh. So when he got to us, we weren't overly scared. A. We were sure it wasn't a real ninja, and B, if it was a real ninja, it wasn't a very good one. It was A. The ninja reached up and pulled his mask off. It was Luke Metcalf, a kid we used to go to school with. His parents had survived, so he wasn't with us at the refuge. "Hey, Wally. Hi, Stacy," he said. I rolled my eyes. Luke had a huge crush on Stacy. "Hey, Luke, what's with the costume?" James woke up just at that moment. "Costume? Costume? Is it Halloween? Wally, why didn't you tell me it was Halloween? And why has a ninja kidnapped Luke? 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 Luke!" And then he fainted again. I turned back to Luke. "So the costume. What's the story? I'm pretty sure you're as far from a ninja as anyone I've ever known." Luke laughed. "Haven't you heard? There are ninja attacks going on. Well, when the zombies were everywhere, I survived by dressing up as a zombie, smearing guts and goo all over my body, and then walking around like this." He started grunting and groaning and shuffling around. "Nice one, Luke," Stacy said. "We all know what zombies look like. We were in the apocalypse too." "Oh yeah, I know that, Stacy," Luke said, stopping the zombie walk and straightening his costume. He smiled his best romantic smile at Stacy. It kind of made him look like he was busting to go to the toilet, but was holding on. "And you were amazing in it. You're my hero. Or heroine. I don't know which word's right." Stacy put a hand on his shoulder. "Thanks, Luke."
"I love you," Luke simpered, gazing at her.
I rolled my eyes again and sighed. So here's the thing. Stacy and I had decided to be best friends and nothing more. So we weren't like together or anything, but still, back off, man. "The ninja thing, Luke," I said, moving things along. "Oh yeah, anyway, fact is I thought if I dress like a ninja, maybe the ninjas will ignore me like the zombies did and I'll survive again, right?" "Sure," I said, "definitely. I mean, to be honest, I do think that you do a better zombie impression than a ninja one, though. The ninjas may kind of guess that you're not the real deal." Luke leapt into a ninja pose, then started doing kicks and punches to prove me wrong. He even pulled out a ninja star, like an actual ninja star, and threw it at a tree, but missed, and got James in the butt, just as he was standing up. "Hey!" James yelled, jumping around, reaching behind himself, trying to get the star out of his bum. "That really hurt. Owie! Ow! Ow! Ow!" He jumped around some more. Luke ran over to him, but he tripped and fell. Stacy sighed, walked over to James, reached down and pulled the shiny ninja star straight out of his butt. I stared at it. As in, I stared at the ninja star, not at James' butt. There were drips of blood on the end of it. I wondered if vampires ever drank blood out of butt cheeks, and if it tasted the same as neck blood. James rubbed his tender buttock. "Thanks, Stacy," he said. "You're good at pulling things out of bottoms." Now Stacy rolled her eyes, and then suddenly James squealed and jumped again. "Ow, Stacy, what'd you do that for?" "Do what?" Stacy asked, genuinely confused. "I didn't do anything." I looked at her hand. She was still holding the ninja star. I looked at James. He had another ninja star sticking out of his butt. And then another, and another, and another. His butt was starting to look like a Christmas tree. Luke screamed and ran off. He got about 20 steps before a net dropped over him and he was yoinked up into a tree. I looked all around us but saw nothing. And that's when I knew. If I saw nothing, there was only one thing that could have thrown that ninja star into James's cushy butt and then netted Luke. And the thing was a real-life, totally genuine ninja. I had fought zombies. I had torched my zombie teacher. I was a master zombie killer. So I did the one thing I knew how to do when ninjas attacked. I ran like the wind, not just like a gentle breeze either. This was a gale force, blow the washing off the lined wind. Well, I was scared, okay? Chapter 3. I didn't get very far. I took 2 steps, then ran straight into James, who was also running away, and we crashed to the ground. Stacy helped us up, copping a ninja star in the arm for her troubles. She grunted in pain, but didn't stop helping. Things went up a notch. I saw movement out the corner of my eye, and then, from behind a tree, a zombie shuffled out. Yes! It was one of the random leftover ones, and it was in bad shape even for a zombie. I couldn't tell its eyeball from its elbow. Now, though, it was Wally's time to shine. That zombie was going down. I grabbed the flamethrower from where James had dropped it when he fainted. As I lifted it up, I heard a metallic clang and saw something fly off the flamethrower and go straight into James's body. That something was a ninja star, because we were being attacked by ninjas. Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. So that meant I just blocked a ninja star that had been flying straight at my eyeball. Woo-hoo! I breathed deep and let loose my very best battle cry. Ah! Before I could fire any flames, though, I saw a puff of smoke to my left. Ninja! And then there was another puff of smoke. 2 ninjas! But they didn't attack us. They attacked each other. I was so amazed I forgot about throwing flames and just watched. We couldn't see much, they moved so fast, except every now and then as they flashed in and out of sight, swords clanging and sparking, blood spurting out as they hit each other. I saw the zombie shuffling towards them, wanting some tasty ninja brain for breakfast. Yummo. The ninja battle continued, the zombie kept shuffling, and we just stood there. "Wally, we have to get out of here," Stacy said. Hand over her ninja star wound. James nodded. He was limping too, and still had a sore butt. I shook my head. "I can't, Stace. That whole finding out what I want to do, I just don't know, but I do know I'm good at smashing zombies. So I have to do that. I just have to feel like I have to do something." "Wally, it doesn't matter if you don't know right now. You have heaps of time. Maybe work it out when there aren't ninja battles and zombies in front of us." "Sorry, Stacy. You go. Get safe. I'll only be a second." I fired up the flamethrower and aimed it as best as I could. As I was about to shoot, I heard a grunt and saw that one of the ninjas had been thrown straight at the zombie, who roared with delight. There was a puff of smoke as the other ninja disappeared. I shot the flamethrower and totally torched the zombie. Now he roared in not delight. He roared in owies and ouchies. I moved closer, flames firing out, and saw a ball of flame roll over the ground like a totally awesome tumbleweed. finish off the zombie, then realized that the ball of flame was the ninja. I was tempted to leave him, seeing as he tried to turn us into human ninja star cushions. But I couldn't do it. I raced over to Stacy, who was already at the creek. She had filled one of the buckets we kept down there on standby in case James dropped the flamethrower. She handed it to me and I ran over and poured it all over the ninja, putting out the flames. Unfortunately, I ran out of water while there was still a flame on his leg, so I stamped on it really hard. This was partly because I wanted to help, and partly as revenge. Revenge for throwing ninja stars into James and Stacy. That stamp got me foot swept and I fell to the ground. The ninja standing over me sawed at my throat. He had the mask on and everything. "Tell me why I should not kill you," he said. His voice was deep and he had a totally cool ninja from the movies accent. His ninja suit was torn and burned and I could see his skin through it in patches. "Because you've been bitten by a zombie," I said. "Soon you will pass out. After that, your skin will start to fall off, black goo will dribble out of your mouth and nose, and the only word you'll ever be able to say again is brains." In my back pocket, I have a bottle of pills. It's the antidote. It will save your life. Oh yeah, that reminds me. You should keep me alive because I saved your life. Twice now. Well, twice if you take the pill anyway. He stared at me and slowly sheathed his ninja sword. I grabbed the bottle of pills and threw one to him. He caught it and then slid it behind his mask and into his mouth. "Don't you want some water to wash it down?" I asked. But he just swallowed it. What? That had been a big tablet. Ninjas can do anything. He was safe from turning into a brain biter now, but the wounds from the ninja fight, the zombie bites, and the burns from the flamethrower were kicking in. The ninja swayed, then fell face first onto the ground. I stood there and leant over him. James and Stacy stood by me, the three of us a team as always. I looked at them and raised an eyebrow. They nodded, understanding my telepathic message. I bent down and grabbed the ninja under the arms. And Stacy grabbed his feet. We started walking back towards the refuge. James didn't take a step then. Suddenly, he held up a hand. "Whoa, wait, what are you guys doing?" "Taking the ninja back to the refuge," I said. "That was our telepathic agreement, right, Stace?" Stacy nodded, but James shook his head. No way, I did not agree to that. I thought the message was that we were going for milkshakes. I was all up for that. But this is something else entirely. A dead ninja who's been bitten will attract more zombies and ninjas and ninja-zombie hybrids, and we do not want that. It was a good but unlikely point. I started walking again, but then felt a hand grip my wrist, and it was a grip like one of those car crusher thingies. "Not your place." The ninja was awake. "Just." "Well, where then?" Stacy asked. "My safe house," said the ninja, his voice coming in spurts. "Here." He pulled a piece of paper out of his outfit. It had a little map on it. A little map showing directions to a ninja safe house. I took it as the ninja passed out again. I looked at Stacy. She nodded. I looked at James. He nodded. Good. This time we were all on the same page. We started walking again, this time away from the refuge. James groaned. "Oh, seriously? But the milkshakes are that way," he cried, pointing. "You guys mind talking riddles, I swear." I laughed, and Stacy and I kept walking. James ran and caught up with us. "Fine," he said. "I'll come with you, but I reckon we should get our bikes at some stage, and milkshakes." It was a good point. We would get our bikes, but first we would go to a ninja safe house with a ninja. Sorry, a bit excited. Chapter 4. It didn't take long to get to the safe house. Well, it didn't take long to get to the spot on the map where it said the safe house was. Then we couldn't see anything aside from some trees and bushes and grass. We laid the ninja down and walked around looking. But there was nothing. It was James who found the key. He sat on the grass and plopped his chin in his hands, fed up with looking. What he didn't realize was that when he sat right on top of a rock that he pushed into the ground, and it set off a secret lever, and when Stacy pulled on it, a huge bush that was off to the right split in two. And when we looked through, we saw the house. Wow! So ninjas weren't just masters of disguise, they were masters of disguising houses too. That was pretty cool. We dragged, carried the ninja through the gap in the bush, which closed up behind us. The actual front door was unlocked, but I realised that A, when he was home he was a ninja, so no need to lock the door, and B, it would take a miracle or James to even find the safe house, so locking it didn't really matter. Also, and this was a C, I hadn't thought of, when I went to open the door, that familiar vice-like grip stopped me. The ninja was awake. You must think twice before entering a house owned by a ninja, he said. Why? I asked. The ninja looked at me for a second, then, while we were still holding him, he somehow kicked open the door. Three guillotine blades dropped down from the roof, another one swung across the doorway, and a final one shot out from somewhere behind us, skimmed past my ear, and thudded into the wall. So if I'd actually opened the door, I would have been sliced and diced like a carrot in a casserole. I turned to the ninja, who was now on his feet, my eyes wide, my hand going to my ear to check for blood. There was none. The ninja nodded and limped through the door. We followed, ducking and weaving as we went, just in case there were more blades. There weren't, which was good for our heads. On the outside, the house looked like your normal everyday renovator's delight. Inside, it was amazing. There was a kitchen, but to get to that, you had to go through a full-on ninja dojo like you see in the movies. Meditating mats, fighting areas, and weapons displayed on the wood panel walls. There were doors to other rooms as well, but James didn't care about those. He was in heaven. He was like a weapon-finding sniffer dog, as we discovered in the apocalypse. And in this place, he didn't even have to search. He just ran to the wall. Look what I found, he squealed, standing in front of us with a ninja sword. Put that back, said the ninja, as he sat in a chair. And these, James said. Look at these. He was back in front of us with a handful of ninja stars. These are not toys, the ninja said. James pretended to throw them, accidentally did throw one, broke an ancient-looking vase, then he was off and back again in an instant. Whoa, he said, eyes wide as he looked at the spiky ball on a chain he was holding. Off and back, grappling hooks, off and back, poison dart blowing things. Stop, now, said the ninja. James returned the blow things, then grabbed a staff. Yeah, he cried, I'm Donatello. Take that, Shredder! Suddenly, James was on his back, the ninja pressing the staff against his chest. I am wounded, said the ninja. But when I say stop, it is perhaps a good idea to stop. Is this understood? James made a little whimpering sound, which meant yes. Then he fainted. The ninja took the staff, got off him, and swayed again. He was really hurt. Stacy stepped in and caught him, hooking her shoulder under his armpit. Come on, she said. We need to look after those wounds properly. Where's your first aid stuff? The ninja pointed to a glass cabinet which had all these strange-looking herbs and flowers and seeds in glass bottles. Stacy walked over with him. She was always good at caring for people, looking after them, making them feel better. She was super cool and tough, but she had a heart of gold as well. Yeah, She was awesome. She had been training in first aid at the refuge too, so had an idea of what she should be doing with burns and cuts. I didn't know if she knew what to do with all the herbs though. I watched as she dabbed at the ninja's wounds with a damp cloth, and I understood. The ninja would help her with the herbs. Before that, she would just care for him, and that would be enough for starters. James had woken again and was sitting up, dagger in hand. I grinned at him. We were in a ninja house. James understood the grin, I assumed, and we high-fived using only non-dagger-holding hands. This was so cool. And I will leave it there for now, and we'll be back again tomorrow with more of the 13 Days of Christmas celebration. Thank you for stopping by, and I'll see you tomorrow.